Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's your girl Cy Brown, and thank you so much for tuning into the Cy Brown Morning Show. I come at you live weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time from New York City. Oh, it's a beautiful day. Yesterday I shared with you that there was snow on the ground. I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't hear snow, but the odd thing is, I don't know if the ground is particularly warm or something like that, because before you knew it, the snow was gone. I was like, wait a minute, that's odd. There's no more snow. So I just thought that was pretty cool. So I'm happy about that. There's no more snow. Today I am joined by my guest, Reverend Darren Ferguson. He is pastor of a church in Far Rockaway in New York. So I'm definitely glad to have him. And he is a friend to the room. He's been a friend of mine in ministry for many, many years, so he's joining us. And so he'll oversee our weekly online Bible study. We all need that, you know, no matter where you are in your life and where you are in your walk. It's good to have somebody that's there to support you. In the meantime, before we bring Pastor Ferguson in, let's just bring in a little bit of music by CC Wine. And it's your girl Cy Brown. Check it in for the Cy Brown Morning Show.
Wow.
Yeah. Yo, I go by the name of Mario Wine, and this is the moment you've all been waiting for. Yeah, I bring to you my auntie, CC Wine. Yo, CC.
I know that you think you can pray after that mistake, but I know it's the only way you can make it better. And I know situations get too much for you to take, and you feel like you won't break, and it makes you say, I can't take it, I think it better. I'm so frustrated, but it's gonna be okay.
show off with a little bit of CC whining this morning. Oh, I'm glad. That's a nice way to start your day. I have to give a big shout out to my friend Gio. She's listening. Gio and I go back to like eighth grade, and she just sent me a text message. Sorry, I'm listening to the show, so I promised to give her a shout out. Hey, girl. Thank you so much for listening. I'm bringing in Pastor Ferguson right about now. Good morning, brother. How are you?
Good morning, sis. How you doing?
I am so well. I'm so happy that you're joining us for our weekly online Bible study. I know you're going to drop a couple of jewels for us. How are you? How's the family?
Everybody's good. I'm just blessed. Celebrating my second anniversary as pastor this week. So, hey, I have nothing but good things to say. I'm so blessed that I can't even stand it right now.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Tell everybody, you know what, now see, I know, I remember when, before you got your church, and when I was introducing you and I said you were going to be on the show, I didn't dare want to not get the name of the church right, and I've been there, so I don't even know why. What's the name of the church, and tell everybody how to find you, because they have to get there and watch you preach, and hear you preach.
Thank you so much. It's Mount Carmel Baptist Church. We're located in Far Rockaway, Queens at 348 Beach 71st Street, and that's Far Rockaway or Arverne, New York.
Okay, I just put that in the chat room, Mount Carmel Baptist Church. I'm not messing that up. I'm not getting in trouble. Listen, I just want to, you know, I've always been impressed because, you know, the pastor sits in the big chair on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're so not intimidating like that. Like, is that why your ministry is growing so rapidly?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I purposed to do, I came out of a very big, very traditional, very conservative in some ways church, and that was Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem. And I love my pastor. I love my church. But one of the things that, one of the critiques, if you will, of the ministry was that a lot of people felt that Dr. Buss wasn't approachable. And even though he actually is approachable, just the weight of that pulpit and the history of the church made people feel he wasn't. So I purposed myself that whenever I became, or however Lord, the Lord used me and put me in that position, that I would have an open door policy. You know, Barack Obama said transparent, but not in government and ministry, and to be approachable to everybody. Because I think that, you know, especially in the tradition of the black church, the black pastor is such a prominent figure in the community that you have to be, especially in these times, approachable, open, honest, and real. And that's who I ask God to allow me to be every day.
Well, I think you really, really are. And you know what? You have a very large youth ministry, and that's actually how you and I connected just some years back when I produced the youth conference for Bethel AME Church in Passaic, New Jersey, under the direction of my pastor at that time, Reverend Linda Ellerby. But you came, like, with busloads of folk from New York to a town in New Jersey. And I'm like, listeners, I'm telling you the real deal. Like, you came locked and fully loaded. I have pastors call me on the low, and I know you know I'm getting ready to go with this.
Mm-hmm.
How do you engage and keep the young people engaged in ministry? Because that's not easy.
No, well, actually, it really is.
Really?
If you wanted, and for me, it was just that I love young people. It's something that came to me generationally. My mother was the lady who's all the kids was in her house. When I was growing up, all the kids came to my house, all the teenagers, because they felt that my mother was mad cool, that they could talk to her, that she was approachable. So I'm my mother's son. So, you know, with young people, I don't judge them. I never tell them, I'm never pointing at them or shoving scriptures down their throat. You know, with young people, you have to be real. You have to lead by example. And you have to, you know, let them know. They don't care what you know. They just want to know that you care.
Mm.
And that's how I am with my young people. I've got young people now who've been with me for over 10 years. They're getting married, having children. I'm becoming a grandfather, even though I have only one biological child. I have another son who's into acting, who just got licensed for ministry himself.
Amen.
He's been with me since he was 12. You know, it's just a blessing because I believe that, you know, the key to the survival of the church, the black church, is that we reach our young people in a meaningful way. So young people love me because I always cared enough to make ministry relevant to them. And that's
right.
You can't always preach to the center of the church. Sometimes you got to preach more to the young folk. Sometimes you got to preach more to the old folk. And when you do that, I think people appreciate that you are sensitive to their needs and their circumstances. And that's been my secret, if it is a secret.
Well, you do that very, very well, and I'm not saying it just because I know you. But one thing I do notice, I put on Facebook one time that I couldn't believe that all my son's friends were reaching out to friend me on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I put it out about maybe like a month ago, I don't remember. And my oldest son, Daquan, is 20, and Miles is now 16. And someone put on my wall, I would never be friends with my friend's friends. And I was so mortified by that. I was like, oh my goodness. And another friend of mine put on my wall in response, I bet you know more about other people's kids than their parents do.
Yeah.
And you, I know, you're on Facebook, your daughter's on Facebook, I'm off, and it's not a situation where you're coming down to their level, but it's just having, I believe, it's just having an understanding, because we were once teenagers too.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, for me, with the Facebook phenomenon, it's really funny, because I got on it, you know, I always told my daughter, if you on MySpace, I'm on MySpace, you on Facebook, I'm on Facebook, and then when I got on Facebook, then I started working at a college, and it's amazing to me how many kids say, oh, my mother's on Facebook, but I would never be my mother's friend, or I'd never be my father's friend on Facebook. And that's because it's the fear of being judged. It's the fear of being, you know, humiliated or called on the carpet for just being who you are, for being young. You know, Facebook is such a gateway, if you will, because people put up pictures from parties and stuff that they do. And I know, I don't think I'm to see what I did at parties when I was 18 and 19.
Right.
But if I had an older person who was a mentor and a friend, you know, I'd step the kids on Facebook about their statuses and their pictures.
I did
but
too.
But I'd step to them in a way and I'd be like, look, you know, I just want to make sure that nobody judges you because of what you're doing. You got to be careful. Potential employers may be looking at this.
Yes.
You know, and I get to speak the truth in love. And when you do that, then they respect you and they say, you know what? You're right. I'm going to take it down. I shouldn't have put it up in the first place. Good looking out. I appreciate it. But
yep.
Instead of receiving that phone call, what you think you're doing? I say that.
Yes.
You can't come off like that. And I don't even do that to my own daughter, so much so that my daughter's in school in St. Louis. I haven't met the majority of her friends in school, and they all friend me on Facebook.
That's what I'm talking about right there. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And you know what? I have to honestly say, you know, well, when we first met, I was the youth director of my church. And I still have my young people, like they're now freshmen in college and sophomores in college or seniors or juniors in high school. You know, that batch that I spent so much time with, they're now becoming young adults. Do you know, like, they still reach out to me?
Yeah.
And I have seen questionable things on my own son's page. He put up some comment about some movie about Shaft or something that he had watched. And he was home watching a movie, and he put up something slick. And I just sent him a message, a private message, like, hey, Booby, just don't, you know, that's not too becoming. Just be mindful of what you put on your wall. That's it. There was no criticism. And because of that, I would like to think my kids and their friends share so much with me, and then that's when I have the opportunity to share Jesus Christ and salvation.
Right.
And I have a question for you. I found out yesterday that I was in the house and I heard my kids mumbling that somebody was dead. And so they were looking on the computer, and I came in, and I'm like, uh-oh, you know, how did he die? First thing I'm thinking, a young, late teens, early 20s, it was a murder. Because,
right.
You know, that's the first thing I think. And I was like, I hope he was saved. And my younger son was like, yeah, I know. And it's those opportunities right there that I believe we get to share the love of Jesus Christ and the joy of salvation. And those moments right there.
Yeah. I mean, one of the greatest experiences I've had in ministry was when I was at Abyssinian Church. One of our young people, a young man who was somewhat gang affiliated and stuff, got murdered. And at the funeral, you know, there were just hundreds, thousands, if you will, of kids putting red bandanas in the casket with them and all of this stuff, red roses and stuff. And when I got to the pulpit to do the eulogy, what I said to them was, I said, you have a responsibility to make sure this never happens again.
Oh, God.
You can't stop every young person from getting killed in the street, but you can govern yourself. And if you don't govern yourself, you'll end up someplace where somebody will govern you. And I said, do you understand? I said, I see you genuflecting and making a sign of the cross over this young man's body. Do you understand what the cross truly means? Do you understand the sacrifice, the savagery, the you know, what God sacrificed through his son for us? Do you understand and why it's so senseless that this young man should be lying here before us today? And what happened was all of the gang leaders in the community, some of them started coming to the church. All of them got my number. They started sending the little wannabes to the church. Yo, you don't need to be with us. Yo, go see the Rev over at Abyssinian. You know, and we did a big forum called No More Drama, and we did it in memory of the young man who passed away. And we had over, you know, hundreds and hundreds of young people from the community in the church, you know, crying, you know, letting go of anger and hatred and all of the things that made them who they were. I had kids come and turn guns into me at the church. The Rev, I threw my gun under the church across the street. I don't know what to do. You know, went out there, took the gun, wrapped it in a handkerchief, told the kid thank you, put my arms around him. You know, because that's what you do. The saving of our young people is not in a fist, it's in a hug. It's not in a jail cell, it's in an opportunity to share with them unyielding, undying love. And you don't do that by preaching, and you don't do that by, by judging. You do that with your arms open, with your heart open, and saying to them, yo, I'm here, I got you. Because that's all they want to know. That's why gangs came so prominent, because the gangs say, yo, I got your back, in ways that adults didn't know how to have their back.
I have to tell you, I am literally in tears right now because we're losing so many kids, black men, and I'm so sorry for crying, but I have two sons, and I literally fight every day for their lives.
Yeah.
I can't tell you, just in ministry and just in life, the senselessness. I went to get my hair done yesterday, and this guy came in, and he had on red hood, and he was paying to get his girlfriend's hair done, and she had the red pants, the red jacket, and I just sat there, and my first instinct was fear. Like, literally, I was terrified. And then once I realized that he, like, I guess, you know, that was his girl or whatever, was bringing her in to get her hair done.
Mm-hmm.
I calmed down. But, Reverend, honestly, it's so heartbreaking.
It is.
See our young people, and to be a leader in ministry, to see such a disconnect at times that the black church, and this is not a strike against the black church, but there has to be more than we can do for our young people than a fish fry or be dismissive of what's important to them. I've had pastors tell me, I've been actually, and this is the truth, I've been told I can't speak at churches because I encourage my young people to go on dates and I have encouraged them to be on MySpace. And I've been told that that's not in accordance with the philosophy of that particular church. And I've never argued. I just didn't have that speaking engagement. But I walked away wondering, the reason you're calling me to come talk to your young people is because you're cutting off every place that they communicate with them.
Exactly. I one of the things that we did recently at Far Rockaway is we did a youth conference. And, you know, we did an all-day youth conference. We did different tracks. One workshop was called Trey Songz Did Not Invent Sex. Another was called one of them was called Get on Your Grind, you know, talking about college and stuff. The other one was called The N-Word and Beyond, you know, Watch Your Mouth. And we had young people from all over the community. We were expecting to have a bigger numbers from the 12 and under group and the 13 to 17 group. But by the end of the day, the most of the kids were from the 18 to 25 year old group. And
really?
They all came in, and we expected maybe 50, maybe 60 kids. We ended up with over 120 kids, and we did the workshops first, and then we did like an hour worship afterwards. And young people were just crying out, screaming out, you know,
yep.
Tears rolling down their face, you know, the Spirit moving them. And all I did was tell them that I love them, that I hear you, that I understand your pain. I know that you cry at night. I know that you're angry and you don't know why. I know that you're frustrated and you don't understand why. I know you feel like nobody understands you. I know you feel like everybody's judging you. But I'm here to tell you that those things have nothing to do with God. Those things
right.
have nothing to do with the love of Jesus Christ. The Lord loves you exactly the way you are, in spite of what you've done, and no matter what you will do in the future, He still loves you. He still wants you. He still welcomes you with open arms. You don't have to wait until you try to get it right. The reason that you need God is because we can't get it right on our own.
Amen.
And when
Amen.
You approach young people, every single church that I go to, without fail, without exception, every single church that I go to, and I do an altar call like that, young people come to the altar in droves, crying, gang members, dudes coming to the altar smelling like weed, girls coming to the altar with you know, tattoos all over their body and trying to pull their pants up so nobody can see the tattoo in the small of their back because they want to come to the Lord and be respectful of the Lord and be respectful
right.
of me as an agent of the Lord. And to see people, they hit me on Facebook and they have real conversations with me and tell me, I just need a change. I need to do something different. They tell me they got pregnant and they've been raped and, you know, they've been involved in lesbianism and homosexuality and all these things. And I always tell them that God loves you in spite of that. And I'm not telling you to stay in it, but what I'm telling you is that there's a way out if you want one. And I tell them, and a lot of people don't agree with this, that if you decide that you still want to be sexually active with somebody of the same sex, that does not mean that God does not love you. And I think,
agree with that.
I'm just silly enough to believe that when you approach young people like that, you're telling them that it's okay to change. You're not
right.
drawing a line in the sand. And when you don't draw a line in the sand, that gives a person the opportunity to feel that there is some sort of opportunity for redemptive change that I can engage in.
Right.
It's not that you're an abomination, you're going to hell. When you do that, that's not what Jesus did. That's not how Jesus lived. And when I see people do that, it ticks me off, it makes me angry, and it really makes me wonder what Bible they read, because I never saw the New International Stupid Version. Because I don't understand what people are doing when they do that to young people.
At least you made me laugh. Sorry. You know, I have to share with you, I love my mother-in-law so dearly, and she's older, you know, like late 60s she is. And, you know, she doesn't wear pants. And her belief is that, you know, in the spirit of a woman, you know, not wearing pants and things like that. So, you know, when I first started dating my husband, that's the first thing that came out of her mouth. And I immediately was like, oh, Lord, I can't even deal with her. You know, that whole, and you know, something unfortunate, but the elders, across many denominational lines, hold so firmly to certain beliefs that are not relevant that I just feel in order for us to reach the people of God, not even young people, the people of God, we have to go in a way that's non-judgmental, arms open wide, and in the spirit of love.
Right, right.
Pastor Ferguson, I'm so happy. I mean, you always, always, always have a spot to come and just talk to us. On Thursdays, we do our online Bible study, and we just you know, I'm blessed to reach so many people through the internet and through social media, and so I feel it's definitely God's will for me to spread the truth and love of Jesus Christ throughout the internet in the way that I know how, and it's people like you who so generously give of your time that support me to help me get down the way Cy Brown knows how to get down. so thank you. Oh, no doubt. I was hoping that you would just be able to say our closing prayer because we have run out of time already. It was so fast,
sure.
Right?
Right, I know, right? Sure. And I'll share this with you since it was a Bible study. 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 9:19-21, says, in part, I become all things to all men that I might by some means save some. And you, to the Jew, I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To the Greek, I became as a Greek that I might gain the Greeks. To the hip-hop kid, I became as a hip-hop kid that I might gain the hip-hop kids. And that is our scripture of departure this morning. And we let's bow our heads. Lord, we come before you thanking you, glorifying you, magnifying you for all that you are and all that you have done. And we have the audacity to thank you in advance for our blessings before we even receive them. Lord, I ask you to bless my sister, Saida Brown, and all that she does and all of her endeavors. Continue to strengthen her, to guide her, to motivate her, that she may strengthen God and motivate others and point them to you. We thank you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We believe that our young people are redeemable and that you have their best interest in heart. And we thank you for that, oh God. And we thank you for allowing us to be agents on that battlefield for the hearts and imagination of our children. We thank you, glorify you, and magnify you. In Jesus' mighty and matchless name, amen.
Amen. I'm so grateful. Thank you. I just want to confirm that the scripture was 1 Corinthians 9:19, right?
Yep, 19 to 21.
Okay, 19. I just put it in the chat room, 19 to 21. So for those of you that are, look at you got me sniffling, man. Come on. For those of you who are in the chat room, it was 1 Corinthians 9:19. And this show, if you missed the broadcast in its entirety, is available for download through iTunes. And it will play all day today if you just go to Cy Brown Morning Show. Reverend Ferguson, I'll definitely get a copy of this show to you for your
thank
for
you,
your
my dear.
That's not a problem. And I just want to say thank you to a few people who have called in. Caller from 201-628. Call us on, we have a lot of callers, Reverend. 973-763-770, which is Atlanta, 572-571-505. And there's more callers that go to screen too, but those are the top five that I can see on my screen right now. So we actually had a lot of callers calling in and listening through their cell phones. So, I mean, is that not the coolest thing that people can call in through their cell phone, listen to it through iTunes, the Word of God? I mean, that's the best, right?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Reverend, I love you. My regards to your family and your daughter and everybody, and we'll see you soon. Again, oh, wait, give everybody the website, Pastor.
Oh, www.mountcarmelbaptist.org and www.luke418.org.
Okay, I just put that, www.mountcarmelbaptist.org and www.luke,
yep.
Oh, because for Luke 418 Ministries, right?
Yep. Yep, and it's got to be updated, but the websites will start being updated by the end of the week.
It's all good. We know where to I know where to find you, man. You're stuck.
Yep, anytime.
Everybody have a good day tomorrow. You know what we do on Fridays. We welcome in the weekend. Just have a party here on the radio to just have to usher in the spirit of a great weekend ahead. I love everybody and thank everybody for listening, and I'll see everybody tomorrow right here on the Cy Brown Morning Show. Peace.